Dear Lord, let me walk in your spirit, let me live by your ways. Let my heart always hear you, and my soul draw more near you, till the end of my days. For I confess, I'm a helpless sinner who's crying for your saving grace. Dear Lord, please be there. Hear my prayer.
Please be there, hear my prayer. Please be there, hear my prayer.
Your love. Let it shine through my soul. You're the life-giving water. I'm the clay, you're the potter. Let your will be my goal. Your gift that you give of a life eternal is worth more than silver gems and gold. Dear Lord,
please be there, hear my prayer.
Hear my prayer.
Please be there, hear my prayer. Please be there, hear my prayer.
For I believe you are the Savior, that you gave your life for me, that you shed your precious blood. In your spirit, let me live by your ways. Let my heart always hear you, and my soul draw more near you, till the end of my days. And if I should awake from death's restful slumber, let me see your shining face. Dear Lord,
please be there, hear my prayer.
Please be there, hear my prayer.
Please be there, hear my prayer.
Please be there, hear my prayer. Amen. There's a man who leads a life of bondage to the federal government. He pays his homage. Seems the more he tries to make, the more they tax and take. Odds are he won't live to pay his mortgage. U.S. citizen, U.S. citizen, well, they've issued you a number for which you signed your name. Back when we were strangled by depression, while FDR was selling out the nation, there was devised an evil scheme. It was a wicked tyrant's dream. Nine numbers now that chain you to their system. U.S. citizen, U.S.
In March of 1933, President FDR declares the bankruptcy of a private corporation known as the Federal U.S. Government. In order to con the American people into paying this fraudulent debt, he set up the Social Security Act. When you sign your Social Security card, you unwittingly become a federal U.S. citizen, pledging your life, liberty, and property as surety for a debt you don't owe. In other words, you become a federal debt slave to your federal master, Uncle Samuel. Don't despair, there is a sure solution. Sure to start a righteous reformation. You can refuse to play their game. We send the number off your name. Just file the forms and drop out of the system. U.S. citizen, U.S. citizen. Well, they've issued you a number for which you signed your name. Now you don't have to play their game. Don't let the fraud enslave your name. Resend the number off your name.
My dad was working early in the mist of the morning chill. Over by the tractor, putting seed into the drill. He said, son, there's just one thing in life you gotta know. Always do the best you can. You reap what you sow. Across the open fields we saw the sunshine falling. The crops survived and grew. Strong to carry ears of grain. The fields of green moved gently as the wind began to blow. Golden waves remind me you reap what you sow. Reap what you sow. Yes, you reap what you sow. Treat your seeds well. Plant in a row. A seed gives its life for a new plant to grow. Treat your seeds well and reap what you sow. We'll be right back.
taught you so.
And fears. They move us through illusion and confusion of the mind, and by changing subtle meanings to the words between the lines. It's the news behind the news and the methods you can use. It's a blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols, the learned elders of Zion. They'll tell you it's a forgery, they'll tell you it's a fake. That some anti-Semite voted for the money that he'd make. It's been slanderized and demonized, and they will racist hate by the same who stake a claim to its creation. Now I'm not here to try to argue if it's false or if it's true, if the author was a commie or the likes of you know who. What I'm really trying to tell you and to get across to you is it's a blueprint to the downfall of our nation. There's a cause to the chaos that's occurring in the land. There's a road to communism. There's a global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, cause it's been hidden from the masses to control their destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's the blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Not an anti-Jewish publication. So if you ever get a chance to get a copy of your own, just remember not to ever leave it lying around your home. Cause you never know just where their snoopy news reporters roam. One might even be a friend or close relation. It's the cause to the chaos that's occurring in the land. It's the source of communism. It's the global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, cause it's been hidden from the masses to control our destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's a blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion.
are right. They're all you need to fight the fight. Tear down the walls of Babylon and pay her back. She caused your need, war she made you lack. Accounts, no need at all. If you trust me in this, I'll heal your land as blessings begin to mount. Come away, come away, my beloved, away from falling Babylon, the whore that has you. Of doubt, I hear your cries and shut them out. Tear down the walls of Babylon and let her sink, washing in my word and rid you of the stink. You have bought insurance in the fear of losing it all. Come on and lose it all. Unless you give it up, it only proves that you never heard the call to come away. Come away, my beloved, away from falling Babylon. She's a whore that has you.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 10th day of April, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the agenda for today's call is When the Wicked Rule. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cumri Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, And Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, pastordan.net. And we do draw your attention to the Daily Mail page on that website. That's where we put current events and information we think might be useful for you. Also, there is the homepage where we talk a little bit about the program and what we're trying to accomplish. Also, there's information there on how to send help, financial help, if you so desire. And for those folks who are doing that, we send a hearty thank you. And there is a contact us page there as well. Also, we've put information on several pages on how to get up to speed on what's called the identity message. More and more people seem to be coming to that lately. So we say praise be to the Father for that. And again, the wake up and the awakening is ongoing and it is picking up speed. And this is the good news. It's unfortunate that the world has to turn into the, if you excuse the expression, shithole that it has become to get our people to stand up and pay attention, but that's the name of the game. Another little tidbit of news is I've been contacted by one of our brethren, and he wishes to support financially in the sense that get me a program that will allow a guest to call in and share in the interview or even take callers. So starting tomorrow, I'm going to work on that full time and try to get something that will work. The problem, of course, is that there's software that will do that, but the software is very, very intensive as far as using up your computer's what they call the central processing unit or CPU. And it takes up a lot of resources, in other words, which requires a lot of power. But we'll figure it out. The point of it is that the team is coming together and people are working together that were not working together 10 years ago, 15 years ago, or even 22 and a half years ago when we started the program. So we said back then that it will probably take a lot of pain. I can remember when Pastor Eli and I and many of the other guests that came on to the early shows, we predicted that our people had grown too soft, too comfortable in their slavery. And it was going to take a lot of pain. Our Father was going to basically have to hit us up alongside the head with a gigantic 2x4 to get our attention. And by gosh, if that hasn't come to pass. I mean, look at this chaotic world. And that's one reason I picked the title for today as When the Wicked Rule, because that's exactly what is happening today. The wicked are ruling. So let me grab the verses that I picked for today and bring them over here to where I can see them. And we're going to start out with Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2. Before I do that, though, let me... Ella, thank you for that feedback. The best thing to do for the time being, anyway, as I put in the email blast that I send out, if you wish to make a comment or want some information put out over the broadcast on the live show, the best thing to do is send it to me by email. It's relatively fast, and I do keep an eye on it, just as Ella has done that. She says the sound quality seems to be pretty good this morning, so praise Yahweh for that. And as long as I don't make mistakes, hopefully we won't lose the copy of being filed. But anyway... use the email, and I will be glad to read anything that you wish to contribute or answer any questions that you might have. So, again, the email is BYD, which stands for By Yahweh's Design, BYD Pastor Dan, and that's all together, no spaces, at yahoo.com. And we'll be glad to do that. Again, it's a workaround, and it may not be to everybody's liking, but it will work. And again, I would be more than happy to share anything that you wish to send to me, as long as it's constructive, of course, and truthful. So anyway, in the area of when the wicked rule, which I think we can all agree that that's pretty much where we're at today in this world, Proverbs 29, verse 2 says, when the upright, some versions of the translations say that righteous is the word here, but it means upright or right ruling. When the upright have power, or you could say authority, the people rejoice or are glad. When an evil man is ruler or woman, grief comes on the people. So here in one verse in Proverbs, pretty much states the obvious, doesn't it? When the righteous are in power, everybody rejoices, because that's the way it's meant to be. And we're going to talk about Romans 13 here in a minute. The proper interpretation of that is that we are to support righteous rulers, righteous authorities. If they are not righteous, then the opposite applies. We are to stand against them. Imprecatory prayer would be the minimum requirement of Yahweh's people for the unrighteous. That's the minimum. And we're going to talk about maximum here in a minute, too. What is the maximum we men should be doing right now when the unrighteous have authority? And I do, excuse me, but I do get messages from time to time, and I need to check them in case they are pertinent to what we're discussing. So, again, work around, but this is a one-man operation here, so you'll have to bear with me somewhat here. So, again, Proverbs 29, verse 2 pretty much states the obvious, and next we'll go to Jude chapter 1, and we're going to read three verses, starting with 14. The prophet Enoch, who was the seventh from Adam. Now, I hope everybody listening knows that not everybody out here that we call mankind came from Adam. If you believe that everybody on this earth came from Adam, you need to tune into another channel, because we just can't deal with people that are that stupid. Okay? I'm sorry. But if you're that retarded that you think everything came from Adam and Eve, then you need to move on and find another channel that will assuage you and make you comfortable in your ignorance, and leave us alone. So anyway, he was the seventh from the first white man, Adam, which means to show blood in the face or blush, which only the pure Caucasian does that. He said of these men, Yahweh came with tens of thousands of his saints to be the judge of all, and to give a decision against all those whose lives are unpleasing to him. Remember, we've talked about the prophets, other prophets, that said that nothing that offends the Father will enter into the kingdom. Are you paying attention? Nothing that offends him will enter the kingdom. So, take a look around you. There's not much of that stuff walking on two legs today that will be around much longer. So again, to give a decision against all those whose lives are unpleasing to him because of the evil acts which they have done, and because of all of the hard things which sinners without fear of Yahweh have said against him. These are the men who make trouble, ever desiring change. Does that sound familiar? Remember Clinton and Obama? Change. We're here to change. Ever desiring change, going after evil pleasures, using high-sounding words, respecting men's position in the hope of reward. You could translate that as kissing the ass of the Jews who have the control of the money on this earth at the present time, kissing their ass in the hope of getting some crumb from their table. Quite the opposite of the way it was when Christ mentioned the dogs and crumbs from the table in the book of Matthew. Remember that? When the non-Israelite female wanted a blessing, do not the dogs deserve a crumb from their master's table? Okay, she knew the position, the hierarchy of this world, and so she received a blessing from Yahshua, who was an Aryan, by the way, not a Jew. Anybody telling you that Messiah was a Jew is a liar. And run from them. Which means most of your mainstream churches you should not be attending, the whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones that are out there. So again, here in Jude, referring to the prophet Enoch, obviously those who are not pleasing to the Father are going to be left out of what comes next. And then, of course, we're going to go to Romans 13, because that is the often mistranslated one where the mainstream churches have led the congregations, the sheep, to the slaughter, preaching utter nonsense that it's our job to obey authorities. End of story. That's where they leave it off. You must obey the authorities, Dan. Really? Well, why? Well, because they're the authorities, Dan, and that's what Jesus would want us to do. Well, maybe Jesus, your Jesus, but not Yahshua, Yahweh in a flesh body. So your false god that you call Jesus, yeah, maybe he wants that, but not the God of the Bible, not the Messiah of Scripture. Quite the opposite. So we're going to read down through seven verses here in Romans 13. Let everyone put himself under the authority of the higher powers, because there is no power which is not of Yahweh, and all powers are ordered by Yahweh God. For which reason everyone who puts himself against the authority puts himself against the order of Yahweh God. And those who are against it will get punished and receive punishment for themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear to the good work, but to the evil. So let's stop here for a minute. Most of these lying pieces of shit we call preachers today, they only read the first two verses, obviously leaving off what is said starting in verse 3. The rulers that we are to give our authority to and allow to govern over us are rulers who are not a cause of fear to good work, but to evil. Now, who determines what's evil? The people in charge today say, well, anything that we say is constitutional because we're in charge. Anything we say or do or put in writing is good and must be obeyed because we're in charge. But who is the authority of what's evil and what is not? Yeah, you're right. The Creator, Yahweh God. That's who's in charge. That's who the determiner of good and evil is. So, the rulers that you and I owe our allegiance to, basically what it's saying, support good work, but not evil work. If you would have no fear of the authority, do good and you will have praise. Now, does the people in charge today, do they praise you for good works today? Or do they reward evil works and evil speech? Absolutely the opposite. Everything is upside down, as Isaiah would say. Verse 4. For he is the servant of Yahweh God to you for good. Uh-oh, wait a minute. For good? Do you mean like the government of California and New York that say it's okay to murder babies even after they're born? That's good? Oh, praise Yahweh. Oh, I'll give my authority to these people. I will give my obedience to these people. For they are benefacting and supporting good works. Murdering babies. Oh, it is a wonderful thing. Wait a minute. That's not true. So here, for he is a servant of Yahweh God to you for good. But if you do evil, have fear. Do evildoers fear those in authority today? Answer is obviously no. Continuing, for the sword is not in his hand for nothing. In other words, the authority to carry weapons and a badge in this world is not for nothing. That's right. They are to enforce righteous rule. When they enforce evil rule, they are not the ones for us to obey. Continuing in verse 4, he is Yahweh's servant, making Yahweh's punishment come on the evildoer. Do the current law enforcement and military and government officials, do they bring punishment on evildoers? Obvious answer to that question is not very often. Even when they want to try, the courts step in and prevent the righteous from doing the right thing. So we have everything upside down today, and we're going to talk about what you and I as men of Yahweh must do about that. There is a solution. I'm going to tell you what it is. Be prepared. Verse 5, so put yourselves under the authority, not for fear of wrath, but because you have the knowledge of what is right. Verse 6, for the same reason, make payment of taxes, because the authority is Yahweh's servant, to take care of such things at all times. Hallelujah. If they were doing righteous works, we should support them. And by the way, we have a thing called a constitution. It's pretty shitty, actually, as Michael Gaddy and Dave Scorpio were talking about on their radio show lately. Okay, the constitution actually is pretty shitty. All full of loopholes and ways for these quacks and charlatans to get around it to do what they're doing. But even as shitty as it is, these assholes aren't following it at all. And again, if people find my language a little too colorful for them, then there's a trigger warning. I'm going to speak to you as a man who's facing the fact that we're at war. And this is a war. All the marbles is what this one's all about. This is the end of the age conflict. And there's certain times that you've got to say it the way you got to say it. We've had plenty of soft-speaking little pansy preachers who worried about using a word or two that might offend somebody in the audience. Those days are over. If you're that easily offended, then what are you going to do when the war actually goes hot, which is just around the corner? If you're offended by words, what are you going to do when bullets are flying, when body parts are laying around, when there's blood everywhere? What are you going to do, little pansy? You going to sit there and cry? Oh, I'm offended. I need a safe space. Little cupcake. Little snowflake. Get over it. Verse 7. Give to all what is their right. Taxes to him whose they are, payment to him whose right it is, fear to him whom it's deserving, honor to him whom honor is to be given. Hallelujah. That's right. If they deserve it. And I've talked about the verse in the commandment to honor your father and your mother. A lot of earthly parents don't deserve to be honored today. Sorry, they don't. They're not doing their job. They've acquiesced. And they've turned it over to the state and to the public school system to raise their children. And television. And cell phones. And tablets. And the internet. everything but they themselves. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Parents today, if you're not homeschooling your child, or at the very least sending them to a private academy that you have control over what's being taught, actual control, which public school system you have no control. If you're not doing that, I'm telling you, shame on you. Shame, shame, shame. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23. Have I any pleasure in the death of the evildoer, says Yahweh? Am I not pleased if he is turned from his way so that he may have life? Obviously, we all wish these wicked SOBs would wake the hell up and stop doing their bullshit. However, at this late stage in the game, I think the ones that are going to turn, which means repent, have already done so. I could be wrong. We may have a little bit more time, but I think we're running out of time very quickly. A lot of the people I trust the most believe that we're going to see this thing turn completely within the next 2 to 2.5 years. If we have even that long, there's no guarantee we have even that long, but I don't believe we have any more than that. And again, that's why I'm going to give out some homework assignments for the men here in just a minute. Proverbs 10, verse 24. What the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. I'm going to reiterate it one more time, that if you're only going to read two books of the Bible, those two books should be Proverbs and Psalms. That's my heart speaking to you. Okay? If you're only going to read two books, if that's all the time you have, all the energy you have, etc., etc., then you better be reading Psalms and Proverbs. Because the right teachings are within those two books. If you can understand and garner the knowledge and wisdom just in those two books, you're going to be miles ahead of everybody else. So again, Proverbs and Psalms. I would recommend reading not only the rest of the standard Bible, but there's also the books of the Apocrypha, the Book of Enoch, Jasher, etc. Many other books were written that we should have access to that have been kept from us. But praise Yahweh, we do have something that the enemy cannot interfere with. They cannot destroy the connection with the Holy Spirit. Unless you are allowing them to pollute your pineal gland. Now, why would they go after the pineal gland? Okay, now let's stop for just a second here. I got more scripture to read, but let's stop and talk about the pineal gland, okay? The third eye, which is right there smack between your eyeballs, just above the brow. Okay, that is where your third eye is. And many times if you'll notice, if you're like under stress or whatnot, you'll pinch that area right above the bridge of your nose and pump blood into that area. It's soothing to the eye, but that's also very close to the point of the pineal gland. It's like you're trying to encourage spiritual reckoning, okay? The third eye. Why is it called the third eye? Because it's made up of rods and cones exactly the way your eyeball is made up of rods and cones that interpret light frequencies and turn them into an image. Your pineal gland takes spiritual energy waves and turns it into a message. It's how you communicate with the Father. It's how you communicate above. Why would the enemy be interested in destroying the antenna that you carry within your body to communicate with our all-knowing and all-powerful Father? Gee, Dan, I wouldn't have any idea. Why would they want to interfere with that? Let's see. They can interfere with your TV. They can interfere with your mainstream media. They can interfere with you, what you're being taught in school. They can destroy the old books. They can lie about history. But they can't stop the Holy Spirit telling you factual information, can they? No, they cannot. That comes straight from the Father. However, you, being human, are susceptible to whatever they do to destroy your antenna. The temple. Your body is the temple for the latter days, by the way, folks. So they can destroy the temple by alienating it from our Father in heaven. That's the reason for glyphosate. That's the reason for fluoride. That's the reason for aluminum in these injections. That's the reason for the amalgam that was put into your teeth. They all pollute your body with heavy metals and other toxins, which will attack the pineal gland. I sent out a video by a doctor who was talking about this very thing, saying almost verbatim what I am telling you right now. So, a second witness to what I've said for years. The pineal gland is crucial to the spiritual man. And obviously woman. But we men are the leaders. And we're going to talk about that in a second. We men are the leaders at the household level and the precinct level. Community of families. That's our job. Ladies, you don't have to like it. But it's our job. We were designed for it. When we behave ourselves as true men, you were not. You were designed for other things. And you trying to act like a man doesn't work, folks. Take a look in this sick society we have out there. Men trying to behave as women and women trying to behave as men. Talk about perversion. Talk about hideousness. Unbelievable. The bullshit that is going on today. Unbelievable. So again, your health is so important at this time. Your temple must be pure. If you are not doing everything within your power to keep your temple pure at this time, shame on you. And I mean that. Shame on you. By God, if you haven't listened to anything we've said for 22 and a half years, listen today. Get your ass in shape. Now, you don't have to be able to run a marathon. You don't have to be able to bench press 300 pounds. That's not what we're talking about. But by God, you can get rid of that excess weight. And I'm not talking about turning into Twiggy. I'm talking about excess, the excess that's hurting your organs and hurting your joints. Get some fresh air. Get sunshine. Get exercise. Just the opposite of what this sick, demented world is telling you. Because it's run by evil and wicked people today. The wicked rule today. And if you haven't figured that out, again, you're dumber than a box of rocks. Of course they're running the show today. And get the hell out of the mainstream churches. They're not telling you the truth. Now, for you, there is a small, tiny remnant of true preachers, men of Yahweh, out there telling the truth. If you're in that congregation, well, obviously, that's not who I'm talking about. But the vast majority of these are far from that. Hebrews 10, verse 26 and 7. For if we do evil on purpose, after we've had the knowledge of what is true, there is no more offering for sins. Okay, for you lamestream folks out here, this is in the New Testament. Okay, you guys that think once saved, always saved, and well, because I'm a Christian, I'm good to go no matter what. Really? Or I've got white DNA in me, so I don't have to worry about none of that scriptural stuff. I don't have to worry about worshiping the Father and truth. No. This is just a racial thing. Really? just a racial thing, huh? So all the stuff I'm talking about doesn't apply to you because you're going to make it because you're white? I got news for you, pagans, national socialists, and all that. You like to make fun of the identity people, but I'm going to tell you something. We got something on our side that you clowns don't, and that's why you're not going to win. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? You like to make fun, all you wimpy guys, you believe in that Jewish Bible and that Jewish name Yahweh. Well, you try to steal our history, our connection to our Creator, and you give credit to these monsters called Jews today. You know, the Revelation 2:9 folks who say they are of Yahshua, Jehudites, or Yahudites, but are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. You want to give them the credibility? You know, it's kind of funny that the white race, according to Charles Murray in his book Human Accomplishments, the white race, the Caucasian race, has produced almost 96 to 98% of everything we call civilization. That's just a fact. Okay? Now, for all you national socialists and pagans out there, the men and women who created all of this wondrous accomplishment many times were believers. So you like to claim that our faith in our Father is somehow holding back our race. No, it's this mainstream religions that are holding our race back, not the faith in the real Father, not the faith in who we are and how we got here. Stop throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You're destroying the relationship we have with who put us here on this earth. And for you clowns that think there is no creator, there is no intelligent design, again, you're dumber than a box of rocks and you need to go away. Because you're not going to accomplish a damn thing. That's for sure. If you don't have enough sense to know that you were put here by our Father in heaven for a reason, if you think this is all by accident or evolution, you truly are dumber than rocks. Unbelievably stupid. So again, Hebrews 10, verse 26, there is no offering for sin if you know what's right and true and you choose to do evil instead. Verse 27, but only a great fear of being judged and of the fire of wrath. Now, these are symbolic terms here. Which will be the destruction of the haters of Yahweh God. Now, people can say, well, the Jews put that in there to control us. No. No. They're trying to be imposters that they're the people of Scripture. They don't want to put away the Scripture. They know the Scripture's true about you and me as the true sons and daughters of the Most High. They're trying to get you to believe that they are the chosen. If it didn't matter, they would just simply poo-poo it and make it go away. They know they can't do that. Yahweh says that my word will not come back to me void. So what do they do as deceivers? Because Yahweh gave them the right to deceive us. For whatever purpose he has. That's why they make war by deception. So the deception is not to say the scripture is not true. The deception is that they're the people of the promise. They're the people of the covenants. When actually they're the people of Obadiah verse 18. They're the people of Ezekiel 25:14. They're the people of Malachi chapter 4. There will be neither root nor branch left of these monsters when judgment is done. And if you don't know what that means, shame on you. Neither root nor branch. Hallelujah. This world will become a paradise once again when the wicked are turned to ashes under our feet. Again, symbolic language saying utterly destroyed and removed from power. Beautiful days. Now we get to the next set of verses under the heading of the new heaven and the new earth, which is right around the corner. And don't forget, guys, I have your homework for you here in just a minute. Revelation 21, starting at verse 1 through 8. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, the heaven it's talking about here is this space above the firmament. Not above the firmament, but the firm ground, the terra firma, they call it, earth. So I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were gone. In other words, all this cesspool, this polluted air, polluted ground, polluted water. And there was no more sea. And I saw the holy town, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Yahweh God, like a bride made beautiful for her husband. And there came to my ears a great voice out of the high seat, saying, See, the tent of Yahweh is with men, and he will make his living place with them. And they will be his people, and Yahweh himself will be with them, and be their Elohim God. And he will put an end to all their weeping, and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain, for the first things have come to an end. Hallelujah, folks! That means the death realm's taken away. That means we will live without something having to die. Now, how's that going to be accomplished? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I just know it will. And personally, I'll be glad to see it. No more animals have to be slaughtered. No more plants have to be uprooted. We will have energy from some other source. The death realm will be done away with, because that only applies to this current earth age and the situation we have today. And he who is seated on the high seat said, See, I make all things new. And he said, Put it in the book, for these words are certain and true. And he said to me, It is done, for I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Now, for you Greek people out there, or those who study the Greek language, Alpha is the first letter of their alphabet, and Omega is the last. In English, that would be, I am the A and the Z, because Z is the last letter of our alphabet. So he's basically saying Alpha and Omega, meaning the first and the last of the alphabet. I'm the beginning, and I am the end. I will freely give of the fountain of the water of life to him who is in need. A fountain of life. Could it be there's some kind of energized water that will provide everything we need for energy to live and work and do whatever it is we have to do? Could be, huh? Could be. He who overcomes will have these things for his heritage, and I will be his Elohim God, and he will be my son. But those who are full of fear and without faith. Whoa, wait a minute. There's a separation here between the people who are going to get all this good stuff and those who don't. But those who are full of fear and without faith, the unclean. Now, what scripture mean by unclean? Those who disobey. That's similar to fornication. Fornication is unclean or unlawful sexual behavior. And the takers of life, are you abortionists listening? Both females and the people in the medical world that do it? Those who do the sins of the flesh, and those who make use of evil powers, or who give worship to images. It's called idolatry. Those who worship images on their flat screens, meaning give worship to it, give credence to it, reverence to it, belief in it. And all those who are false will have their part in the sea of ever-burning fire, which is the second death. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Proverbs 12 here in a minute, but I think I'm going to interject excuse me, interject the what I was talking about, the homework assignment for the men here. Okay, guys, it's time to get serious, because evil prevails today because good men are sitting on their ass. Whether it's virtual gaming on TV or computers, whatever, but we're sitting on our ass. And we're listening to the creatures from hell tell us that we're not worthy. So I've got a little homework assignment I would like the guys to perform. And that would be, pick a leader. Whatever you want to call them, leader, commander, whatever. Pick a leader. And you start with, who's going to be leader of your household? And I hope it's already true that you, as the man of the house, are the leader of your household. If you're not, shame on you. So, men, are you the leader of your house? That's where it starts, at the household level. People say, well, we don't have leadership. Well, okay, it starts at the house. Now, in your home, who is your leader? And if you don't have one, pick one. Who's going to be your leader? You got to have a leader. That's the way Yahweh made this world. A battleship doesn't work on the open seas in warfare unless there's a commander on that battleship. Same thing with an aircraft carrier, same thing with a battalion on land. There has to be a leader, okay? Not two, not three, not four, not five. It's a monarchy. One leader. Why? Because if you don't have a monarchical society, a monarchical military, a monarchical family, you flounder. Endless arguing, nothing gets accomplished. Sorry, that's the way it is. So, in your household, who is the leader? Now, in your community, who is the leader? Whether it's a parish, a precinct, whatever. In your community, who's the leader? If somebody came up to you today and Yahweh sent a servant, or he himself stood before you and said, who say it is? Now, if you're going to say, I don't have a leader at the community level or precinct level, that means you are it. If you can't point to somebody who's more righteous, has more faith, more scriptural knowledge, and is more willing to stand up for the widows and orphans and the defenseless, if you can't pick somebody, that means you're it. You are the leader for your precinct, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not. You are the leader. Now, you've got your household. You've got to figure out who it is at the precinct level. Now, who is the leader at the county level? Stop and think about it. Your father came up to you and sat down in your living room and had a face-to-face with you, and I want to know, who is the man in charge at the county level? Who do you know at the county level is righteous? Who at the county level is brave? Who at the county level will take a stand for the defenseless? It would really be nice if the sheriff could answer to that call. Now, if you can't give a name, if you don't have that righteous man of strength and character at the county level, then you're it. Whether you like it or not. Now, the adversary is going to tell you you don't deserve it. You're not perfect enough. You're not righteous enough. You don't have enough biblical knowledge. Well, again, if you can't point to somebody that you personally know who fits that description, then you are it. Because we're getting very, very close to this thing going extremely hot and the trumpet sound to go. And when that time comes, the leaders have to stand forth. You have to be willing to take that role on. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not perfect. I'm not strong enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not pure enough. Blah, 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 blah. Well, the last time I checked in Scripture, King David was a pretty special guy. In fact, if you believe the Scripture, he was a man after Yahweh's own heart. And Yahweh loved him for that. His righteousness, his faith, his obedience, his loyalty. Was King David a perfect guy? Hell no, far from it. Did he ever fall for weakness of the flesh? Sure he did. Did he ever fall victim of vanity? Sure he did. Did he ever speak ill of somebody? Sure he did. Did he have reason to repent and feel ashamed? Sure he did. And yet he was a man after Yahweh's own heart. Why is that? Why do you think that is? Do you think Father wants perfect people? Or does he want the heart of that person, the soul? What drives him? What motivates him? Is his desire to do what is right? That's what he's looking for, guys. Not perfection. None of us is perfect. But if you can't point to an individual that fits that description that I gave, if you can't, then you are it. If your sheriff isn't righteous and a man of faith, then you have to be the county leader. Now, the next question is, who at the state level, when Father says, all right, who is your leader? Who is the man that you look up to that would be your leader? If you can't point to somebody, then you are it. You better get used to it. Sorry. Again, a lot of us think we're too old, we're too feeble, we're not smart enough, we're not strong enough, not faithful enough, not handsome enough, blah, 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 blah. That's not what Father's looking for. He's looking for the heart. He's looking for the spirit of the man. And last but not least, who at the national level, since we're in the United States, 50 sovereign countries called states, who came together in a joint agreement, and who have the right to secede from that agreement when the people in charge are violating their oaths of office, we have every right to secede. In fact, it is demanded that we secede and become sovereign and self-sufficient. So, who at the national level, if you had to pick a person who represents the highest qualities that we can find as men, not perfection, but are striving for the things that Yahweh would approve of, who would you pick? And I'll say it again. If you can't pick somebody, then it might be just you. So start that little assignment, and for those of you who feel led, contact me about who you put on the list. And if you don't wish to share it, that's fine. Father knows. Go to the Father in prayer. But I'm serious. You need to figure out who it is, because we're getting really close to that time. A lot closer than people think. Proverbs 12, verse 1. We're going to go down through Proverbs 12 a little bit here because there's a lot of wisdom. Again, Proverbs and Psalm, wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. A lover of training is a lover of knowledge or truth, but a hater of teaching is like a beast. We're run by beasts. Government, kakistocracy is what we have because we're our rulers, our governing people are beasts. They have no empathy. They're psychopaths. A good man has grace in the eyes of Yahweh, but the man of evil designs gets punishment from him. No man will make himself safe through evil doing, but the root of upright men will never be moved. This is why Yahweh has to get you to voluntarily disobey. And that's why he wants you to voluntarily destroy your connection to the Father, called your pineal gland. A woman of virtue is a crown to her husband or her cover. But she whose behavior is a cause of shame is like a wasting disease in his bones. There's another scripture that talks about it's better to live in the desert alone than with a contentious wife. I've got that t-shirt. In fact, I have several of those t-shirts. I know exactly what that verse is talking about. The purposes of upright men are right, but the designs of evildoers are deceit. And that's what gets me about all of this so-called white hat activity going on. It's always in the dark. And there's always excuses for that, but I'm a simple guy. And the verse here says that upright men do things in the light. The workers of iniquity do things in the dark. Again, I'm simple. Maybe I'm wrong, but simple always works best for me. The words of sinners are destruction for the upright, but the mouth of upright men is their salvation. Evildoers are overturned and never seen again, but the house of upright men will keep its place. I remember years ago, a guy said, isn't it interesting that the people you remember most in life aren't celebrities, aren't famous people, rich people, actresses, comedians, athletes. They're not the ones you remember the most. You remember people who care. People who have empathy. Upright people make the most impressions. A man will be praised in the measure of his wisdom, but a wrong-minded man will be looked down on. He who is of low position and has a servant is better than one who has a high opinion of himself and is in need of bread. An upright man has thought for the life of his beasts or the animals that he's in care of, but the hearts of evildoers are cruel. I remember years ago, I had a friend of mine. Back then, I thought he was a friend. I remember one time I was mowing hay in the field. I was a teenager, and I was on the tractor, and he was riding on the tractor with me. And my cutter bar was down, and I was cutting the hay. And I didn't notice it, but I ran right over top of a little bunny rabbit. And the cutter bar had skimmed across his back and had stripped the hair off of the back of the rabbit. So immediately I stopped the tractor and raised and shut off the mower, and I was going to go back to see what I could do to help the bunny, and I look up and my friend is taking a rock and he's crushing the head on this rabbit. So I went over to my so-called friend and I said, "What the hell do you think you're doing?" And he said, "Well, you wounded it." I said, "I cut the hair off his back. There was not even any blood." "Well, I did that because he was going to get infected and die." I said, "You don't know that." I said, on this land, which is my father's land, if you ever do that again, you'll be sorry for doing that. And I said, I don't want to ever catch you doing that again. What you do at your father's house is your business, but on this land, don't let me ever catch you doing that again. How men treat animals will tell you a lot about their character. Did you ever notice that? And it's kind of funny because cats and dogs, particularly dogs, man's best friend. There's a reason they are called that. Dogs have a sense about them, and they can often sense, not all of them, but a lot of the, many dogs, I've seen dogs do it a lot of times, they can sense whether a person is good or evil. Because they have no agenda. And they know how your heart is as far as your treatment of them. Verse 11, he who does work on his land will not be short of bread, but he who goes after foolish men is without sense. Yeah, really. The resting place of the sinner will come to destruction, but the root of upright men is forever. In the sin of the lips is a net which takes the sinner, but the upright man will come out of trouble. From the fruit of his mouth will a man have good food in full measure, and the work of his hands will be rewarded. The way of the foolish man seems right to him, but the wise man gives ear to suggestions. Do you ever notice that? Foolish men always think they know everything, don't they? A foolish man lets his trouble be openly seen, but a sharp man keeps shame secret. The breathing out of true words gives knowledge of righteousness, but a false witness gives out deceit. There are some whose uncontrolled talk is like the wounds of a sword. Wow, is that true? There are some whose uncontrolled talk, diarrhea of the mouth is what we say today, is like the wounds of a sword, but the tongue of the wise makes one well again. Do you ever notice that? There's certain people you just can't stand being around them. And yet there's other people that you cling to. You long to be around them. Why? Because they speak wise words. There's healing in their voices and in their manners, where other people are just wicked, evil. Debbie Downers is the term that comes to my mind. True lips are certain forever, but a false tongue is only for a minute. Deceit is in the heart of those whose designs are evil, but for those purposing peace, there is joy. No trouble will come to upright men, but sinners will be full of evil. False lips are hated by Yahweh God, but those whose acts are true are his delight. A sharp man keeps back his knowledge, or what he knows, but the heart of a foolish man makes clear their foolish thoughts. Okay? Wise or prudent men don't have to say a whole lot, do they? Foolish men just can't, you can't shut them up. The hand of the ready worker will have authority, but he who is slow in his work will be put to forced work. Care in the heart of a man makes it weighted down, but a good word makes it glad. Or concern in the heart of a man could be another way of saying that. The upright man is a guide to his neighbors, but the way of evildoers is a cause of error to them. He who is slow in his work does not go in search of food, but the ready worker gets much wealth. In the road of righteousness is life, but the way of the evildoer goes to death. Hallelujah. A few other things that became apparent in some of the conversations I've had in the past week or two. They're going to push very strong for this central bank digital currency. And Keith and I and other people that I know have been talking about this, and they're of the opinion that this may be where people will flock to cryptocurrencies to at least put some of their wealth in case of a complete shutdown. I'm looking into that. Again, not that you would put everything in there. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. But if there is a remote possibility, and it's not that remote anymore, that they are going to shut the current system down, then we need to think about, well, what are you going to do? Because you have to be able to barter. You have to be able to live outside the system. The system is going to expel the righteous. Yahweh says the righteous should do it on their own, but Yahweh is going to make it so detestable that it's going to be like they vomit you out of their mouth, just like Yahweh will vomit the weak and unfaithful, deceivers and liars. He will vomit the lukewarm out of his mouth. So those without faith, the lukewarm, the cowards, you're not going to have a part in the kingdom. Sorry. I noticed that in France, there seems to be a very heated running for the president of France. Marine Le Pen is against that piece of shit called Macron, that Jew. Another Jew. You ever notice how many of our white European nations, and even over here in North America and elsewhere, the white cultures are run by Jews? Crypto Jews in some case, but Jews nonetheless. Okay, Macron, Merkel, that horse face in New Zealand, Australia, England, Canada, the United States, all run by Jews. I'm sure that's just coincidental. All of them psychopaths, all of them lacking empathy for anything but their own. But they are exactly as Christ said, they are devils in John chapter 8. They are of their father, the devil. They are liars, deceivers, destroyers. Look at what the whole Biden regime is all about. Okay, he's got, well, Trump was no better, by the way. He was just crammed full of Jews all around him. Okay, advisors are Jews. His son-in-law is a trusted advisor, a Jew, 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 Jew. How much do you have to see before you start getting a picture of what the hell's going on in this world, folks? And again, Christ himself denounced these people. Now, if you're foolish enough to come at me with, well, Dan, Jesus was a Jew because that's what's in my Bible. Yeah, your English mistranslation. Okay? English translation for eudaios, where if you look up the word eudaios, that's not what it says. Christ was a Judahite. He was of the 12 tribes. He was an Aryan. That's why he had golden hair and bright, bright blue eyes. And Pontius Pilate and all of the dignitaries of the day that wrote descriptions of him described him as that. That not only in his outward appearance, but in his mannerisms, he was quite different than the fake, phony Jew who occupied that area at that time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their lapdogs. So these nefarious creatures have risen very high. They are Esau, Edom. So Esau has risen high. Jacob has gone down to be the tail. Again, everything is upside down, not as it's supposed to be. Jacob Israel is to be in charge. Jacob Israel is to maintain Yahweh's law and order upon this earth. And they are not doing it. They're not in charge. So again, I'm going to remind you, men, you have a homework assignment. Because Father's going to give the signal very soon. I think it's going to be in less than 2.5 years. But I know it's going to be soon. Because this poor earth can't take much more of this abuse. The people, the land, the water, the air, etc. So he's going to call forth his army, his Ezekiel 37 army, and you're part of it, guys. And again, stop looking for perfection in whoever you pick as leader or in yourself. Stop it. Just answer the simple question. If I get called to pick up my sword and my shield and go into battle for Father Yahweh today, who would I accept as my leader slash commander? Who? Pick somebody. It's not a suggestion. It is a commandment. Pick who is your leader. And if you can't pick somebody, then you'd better be ready to stand up and be one yourself. Understood? I hope so. Let me just see if we got any kind of news. Nope. All right, that's all I got for today. And again, I'm trying to improve things with the station. I covet your prayers in that regard. In the meantime, we're going to do the best we can. And I apologize for last week's or the last show. The file was lost. That was partly due to my error, partly due to the program. And again, I apologize. Hopefully, we won't let that happen again. And I do want to remind folks on a health issue, since there is a possibility of them trying to shut down our ability to obtain things, a very good home remedy for virtually anything that might be wrong with you, very powerful, is oregano. And again, obviously, we're talking about heirloom organic oregano. Now, yep, it's a great seasoning for spaghetti and stuff like that. However, it is highly medicinal. So you want a bag of dried oregano leaves. And what you need to do, and do this as soon as you can, because it takes 4 to 6 weeks to process this, but you want to take a quart jar, or bigger, it can, you know, whatever you want, but at least a quart jar, and fill it halfway up with oregano leaves, and then pour olive oil in on top of it, and then after it soaks up some of that oil, then continue to pour until you've got a quart jar full. And then you put the lid back on it and set it off in a proper space for 4 to 6 weeks so that that oregano diffuses into the olive oil. And it will. And after 4 to 6 weeks, when that is diffused into the oil, then you run the contents of the quart jar in through a strainer and take out the leaves so that you're just left with the oregano infused oil. And you put that in a container and keep it. That's your first aid. It's good for topical applications like on skin abrasions or anything on the skin. It's also good for a dropper full in your mouth if you feel an illness or sickness coming on. Okay? Very, very powerful. Oil, it's called oil of oregano. Very, very powerful. Very easy to do, easy to make, and yet it's very powerful. I saw another article last night that was talking about the fact that virtually everything called a disease. Oh, Ella, excellent point. It's a glass jar, by the way, not plastic. Glass, not plastic. So, good point. I lost my train of thought. Okay. Darn it. Oh, I did. I lost it. So, with that being said, again, that's right, disease. The human body can overcome virtually anything we call a disease today. Excuse me. If you give the body the right nutrients, vitamins, and minerals, and stop doing, obviously, whatever caused the problem. But the body can recover from almost anything if you give it that proper stuff. That was verified once again by a doctor that wrote the article I was talking about. So the truth is coming out, and praise Yahweh for that. The things that have been hidden from us are becoming revealed. And that's a wonderful thing. So again, apologize for the last show, and we're going to do our best not to lose today's. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We just pray that your coming will be very, very soon, that you'll put an end to this nonsense and this sickening cesspool that grows ever deeper around us in this day and age. We pray that your sons and daughters will grow very strong in their faith, and their backbones would be stiff and strong and straight. They stand tall and be shining lights in this darkness around us. We ask that your Holy Spirit would guide us and give us good discernment and encouragement too, because so many are under stress and anxiety today. Bring us that peace that goes beyond understanding that only the Holy Spirit can give. Help us to remember to keep that pineal gland in great shape so that we can speak freely and often and communicate with one another perfectly. We need you, Father Yahweh, more than ever before. We repent of our ancestors asking for earthly kings and rulers over us. You're the only rightful ruler over mankind, the only ruler worthy of our reverence and obedience. And again, we repent of that decision they made. It has turned into a nightmare for mankind. And as consciousness grows, we become more aware every day that you are the author of life and the only authority that we recognize. And to that end, we ask that you watch over us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom, and protect us, Father Yahweh, from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name we pray. Hallelujah.
Soil the blood, oh mankind. Now the choices. thoughts of you when the time swiftly running. Sure, there's something we can do if we only will try. It's time for our people to rise from their sleep, because now's the 11th hour and time to rock them in their ivory towers. Make them fear the rage in the wrath of the coming storm. Rock them in their ivory towers. Make them fear the fire in the ire of the people's storm. Rock them with the sound to the sound.
Shakes the ground and the towers crumble down and they drown in the blood, sweat and
your crown be trampled in the streets. Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. America, America, once God's word was your standard. How gradually you've compromised, how far you finally wandered. For the years of silent apathy, to God we now repent. For the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned.
man needs Jesus now. If he's confined within the church, its walls will crumble down. We must awake, we must arise, for his kingdom to secure. We know the battle has been won, yes, the victory is sure. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Now don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson.
The sacrifice he made, another out of holy fear, built an ark the world to save. Another left his homeland, and as a stranger he'd reside. But none received the promise then, and so in faith they died.
Conquer kingdoms, quench the fury of the flames. Some made strong in battle, some were raised to life again. Many more were martyred amidst the crowds now clamoring. By faith they were not bound to kiss the emperor's ring.
Faith understands it offers, it assures and calms our fears. It can shut the mouths of lions and make sense of scars and tears. We persevere in hope and with conscience clean and clear. Salvation's pioneer. Being sure of what we hope for, seeing what is yet unseen. A universe for nothingness, new life where none had been. The known made from unknowable, and hope for the comfortless. We'll hear and hold on firmly to the faith that they possess. Faith understands it all hurts, it assures and calms our fears. It can shut the mouths of lions, make sense of scars and tears. We persevere in hope, and with conscience clean and clear.
eyes upon the champion as you seek to run the race, understanding that he cheers you on as you long for his embrace. So hold on and do not grow weary of the faith that you profess, remembering that you are ringed around by this cloud of witnesses. Faith understands it all hurts. It assures and calms our fears. It can shut the mouths of lions and make sense of scars and tears. We persevere.
Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans.
We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. Wasn't as many as it was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
We looked down the river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. We stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside a cotton bale and didn't say a thing.
We fired our guns and the British kept coming. It wasn't as many as it was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Old Hickory said we can take them by surprise. If we didn't fire a musket through, we looked them in the eye. We held our fire till we see the faces weld. Then we opened up our swirl gun and really gave them well. We
fired our guns and the British kept coming. Wasn't as many as it was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, they ran through the fires and they ran through the brambles. Ran through the bushes where a rabbit shouldn't go. They ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them. Down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We fired our cannon till the barrel melted down. So we grabbed an alligator and we fought another round. We filled his head with cannonballs and powdered his behind. And when we touched the powder up, the gator lost his mind.
We fired our guns and the British kept coming. It wasn't as many as it was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, they ran through the fires and they ran through the brambles. Ran through the bushes where a rabbit shouldn't go. Ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them. Down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.